the earth. Tremendous words, and great to praise God with, worship Christ, our new born and reigning King. Dr. McClellan, would you please come now and lead us in our opening prayer?
Our Father in heaven, we come before thee tonight through the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come, Lord, at the end of this year to give thanks unto thee for thy great goodness to us. O God, when we consider that we are, as Abraham said, but dust of the ground, and yet we can speak to thee, and we thank thee, our Father, that thou dost hear us and thou dost answer prayer. And we bless thee, our Father, for every prayer that thou hast answered for us in this past year. O God, make us, we pray, a truly thankful. And Lord, through the good times and through the difficult times, we thank that thy promise stands sure, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And we thank thee, our Father, also, that thou dost give thine angels charge over us to keep us in all thy ways. So, our Father, we praise thee and thank thee for every good and perfect gift that cometh down from above from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We ask, O Lord, to bless our praise tonight. O God, open our hearts. May our praise not be stinted, but may it come from hearts rejoicing in the Lord our God. May, O Lord, the old devil would love to steal away the song of the Lord from us. We ask thee, O God, that thou would defeat him, and grant, O God, that we may enter into a new year in the victory of the Lord Jesus, following in the train of his triumph. We ask, O Lord, tonight as we meet here, that thou would remember that family in our church in Perth, Australia. And we think, Lord, of the injury to that little girl. We ask you, O God, that thou would minister to them, that thou would bless the little one, and grant, O God, that she may survive and recover from this dreadful attack. So we commend them to thee, Lord. We know not why these things happen, but thou dost know, and we pray that thy perfect will be done, and that thy people will be blessed and encouraged. Be with us now, we pray. Bless everyone who will take part, and give liberty to those who will testify and sing. And Father, may we go home tonight rejoicing, because it was good to meet here, because here we met with the Lord. We ask it in his name. Amen.
What Dr. McClellan was praying about there, we just got news before the service started tonight, and it had to do with a family that was in our church in Perth, Australia, and a two-year-old girl was very critically mauled by a dog and in very difficult situation and critical care at the moment. And so we're just remembering that family in prayer, and the Lord would overrule and what would appear on the surface is an extremely senseless situation, and yet God, in his great providence, overrules for his own praise. Number 512, please, as we continue to worship the Lord. You're singing well, and I believe we can continue as our hearts are filled with thanksgiving, and so it comes through our voices and our praise to him. Number 512, let's stand again. Light devotional reading is one that is very encouraging, and if you do not have a copy of that, I would suggest you find a copy, and they're well available online now, called The Daily Light, and they have a morning and an evening reading. And this is the evening reading for December the 31st, so we're jumping ahead just a couple of days, but it's most appropriate for our service tonight. Please listen to these words. There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. And everyone in this church should know exactly about that verse of Scripture. It was our motto text, not in the 2015, but the last year, 2014, from Joshua 13, verse 1. And it's still very applicable for us. There is yet much land to be possessed for the Lord. Not as though, Paul said, I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Be therefore perfect, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. The Lord bless these precious words to our heart tonight. We want to welcome you all for our very special testimony and praise service tonight, the last service that we will be holding for this year and the last Lord's Day of 2015. This morning we were reflecting upon the encouragement that God gives us not to give up, not to surrender, not to capitulate to the devil, but rather that we continue pressing forward, pushing onward, because God is worthy and he has called us to such a calling. Trouble you will have. The Savior promised you will have persecution in this world, and so we will. But God is the great overcomer. And Christ said, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. And that's the promise that the Lord has blessed his people with. So we welcome you all tonight to our time of testimony and praise. I want to just leave with you some important announcements for the service tonight. First of all, we want to say it's a mixed, happy, and sad occasion, as we have to say farewell to some folks who will be departing back to their home. Aisha and Paulette will be heading out tomorrow, and we've enjoyed so much the fellowship of these dear people from the United Kingdom in London, and they were over here especially for the wedding of Femi and Azarina. So some of their party have slowly been drifting back home, and these are the last ones, but we're going to miss them. We've enjoyed fellowship with them, and we pray that God would go with you with God's speed, and you would know his presence and his help with you continually. I want to read for you a card I received from the Schultz family, and we have some of their prayer cards that are on the table at the back. These four visitors in our church are missionaries in the Czech Republic, and so they've dropped off some, well, they didn't drop them off, the mailman dropped them off, but we have some of their prayer cards here, and it reminds me that to pray for Alex and Grace, as they will be heading over to the United Kingdom, and then from there heading over to visit the Schultzes. They're leaving, I think, tomorrow or the next day. So remember Alex and Grace and your prayers as they travel. But here's a Christmas card from the Schultzes. Let me read it out to you. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, we thank you for everything that you do for us. We continue on in the work that the Lord has called us to. May he find us all faithful. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. In Christ our Lord, Milos, Martina, and all the children have signed that. So you can have a look at that at the end. But please keep them in prayer and make sure you grab a prayer card before you leave today. I left with you today, reminded you about a prayer, a Bible reading schedule. Well, it would be a prayer schedule as well, but a Bible reading schedule primarily. And it's done for 52 weeks, and there are some on the table at the back there if you would like to pick up one as you leave. And as I mentioned, if you want to convert this to a phone file or a device file, you can simply take a snapshot of it, and then it can be with you and your photos, and it's very helpful to be used wherever you are to follow through the schedule of reading the Scripture. We encourage that. We think it's vital for us, for general knowledge, but it's good for consecutive reading through the Scripture, that the Lord would meet with us and we would endeavor to instruct ourselves more fully in the things of God. So pick up one of those as you leave tonight. And then I hope that the men who were on the door passed out to you as you were coming into church. They may not have, but if they didn't, you make sure you get one when you leave. This is simply a list of the events, the important events that we have found over the course of this year that have directly related to this church or connections with that. And so this is a very important list. I have found it in going over it and compiling it. It's really been a list of thanksgiving and praise in my own heart, thanking God as I look back and see all the things that He has done for us in this year. And these are really highlights, because in every one of these details, there are 100 other details that come together. And so as you read through them, think on them, thank God for these events, and be in prayer for the seeds that were sown through them, that they'll yet bear much fruit for us as well, yet in the future. We hope that you will be able to remain behind after our service tonight, because downstairs in the basement we're having a time of fellowship, and there's a lot of food that has been brought in, and a lot of international dishes, and we hope you'll take the opportunity of staying with us tonight after for a time of fellowship. It's good to see our sister Anna just coming in the service now. You're very welcome, dear. We've been thinking about Anna and praying very much for her husband, Joseph, and continuing to pray for God's hand to be upon him. Some of you will have already visited our church website, and on your bulletin you will see at the very bottom there is www.torontofpc.ca. And that does not stand for the Toronto Football Club, as some people have mistaken it to be. It's the Toronto Free Presbyterian Church, as you know. But you can type in those letters and it will come up. And I really want to say a word of thanks to our brother Trevor Cunningham, because he's invested a lot of time in composing the website, putting it together, and it's fully functioning now. What we would like you to do and ask you to do is to go online to the website and then sign into it for yourself and with your own email. Because once you do that, then we have record in the database, and we'll be able to send you out the bulletins to your email, notices that have to do with the congregation here. And this is very helpful, especially if there's an urgent notice that has to go out. Maybe it's a snow day, although I don't think that's going to be happening anytime soon. But if you have a snow day, we have to close a service. But more importantly, maybe there is a funeral that is going to take place very quickly. We have to get your name down there. So you sign in, we'll have a record of that, and then we can send you notifications and emails that are very, very necessary. Now, I think those are all just about all the things that I had to say by way of announcement, apart from taking this time to express to you, congregation, from a pastor's heart, heartfelt thanks to all of you and the support that you have been to me, to my family, throughout the course of this year. And I say this with all my heart, that you are a faithful praying people. And the number of times that you say to me at the door, I'm praying for you, and how meaningful that is to me. And I want to thank you very much for that. Your prayers are valuable. They are important for us. And so I want to thank each one of you. You have been faithful in your giving to God's work, to this ministry, and to the mission fields that we are involved with. And God blesses and will continue to bless you as you faithfully give your tithes and your offerings to the Lord's work. I want to say a word of thanks to the elders, the session members of our congregation, for these men have the burden and responsibility of the spiritual load of the church, and I want to express a word of thanks to them. I want to say a word of thanks to the deacons that are in our congregation as well. We have a good group of men who are hard workers. They are engaged in the work they're doing, and we appreciate the practical labors and the spiritual labors they do at the same time. And it's very, very appreciated. I want to say a word of special thanks to Dr. and Mrs. McClellan for their support and encouragement over the years, and pray for them as they continue on in their vital ministry in this church, and how much we appreciate them. We are those who come to live in houses that we did not build, and we come to reap the fruit of vines and vineyards that we did not plant. And when you look at those who have pioneered and have laid the hard track and cut through the forest to clear the pathway, well, these folks have done that in their tireless service for the work of Christ here. And so we greatly appreciate your labor and your encouragement in the things of God. And I appreciate the work that our brother Sterrett does, Reverend Sterrett, in his ministry in the school as the principal of our Whitfield Christian Schools, and the workload that is upon him there and the stress load. It is immense. And please, as you're praying for myself, for the ministry here, double your efforts as well, praying for our brother Lee, because that responsibility is great. And I appreciate his fellowship and the work that he does in support and strength to the ministry and the church here. And he's always willing, filling in whenever I need to have that, and he's always there, and he's actually doing it tonight. So that's a good evidence, an indication. He's doing the devotional, the closing word tonight, and we appreciate, brother, your ministry in the Lord and your faithful support along the time that we continue on in serving. I do want to say a word of thanks to my faithful wife. She's not in the service tonight. She's probably downstairs looking after little ones, but appreciate my wife Jill and the support that she has been for me in my ministry from the time God called us and to the work of the Lord here and the church and the school. And I could not do this without the support that Jill has given to me. So I appreciate that very much and thank God for her and the wife that the Lord has blessed me with. And you know, in these things, the book of Proverbs says that a woman of virtue is to be desired of great value, of great benefits, more value than many riches. And that is so true. And so by God's grace and blessing, we have received that, and we thank God for these blessings that come to us. Now, Brother McInally, just before we move on to the first of our testimonies tonight, Brother McInally is going to put up a picture on the screen for you overhead. Well, you can't see it that well, but I have the original copy right here. This was given to me by Samantha Sterrett this morning. As she was going out, she ran up to the door and she gave me this picture. This is me, by the way. This is Dr. Saunders. That's what it says right there. And it's a striking resemblance, as far as I can see, anyways. I especially like the slender fit that I have there. That's pretty good. And it looks like, I'm not sure if that's a crown on my head or if that's a spiked hairdo. I'm just not too sure about that. But appreciate Samantha. And you know what? As we think about all the little ones that God has blessed us with in the church. Brother, you can take that off now. I think it's gone. Yeah. We appreciate the little ones in the Sunday school from the smallest age to the oldest one. But God has blessed us with a work among the youth, a work among the children, both in our school, our Sunday school, here in the congregation. These are encouraging times in the midst of much discouragement. Let's be honest. There are many things that we are struggling with, but God is able. He is building his church, and it will not fail. We will fail, but he will not fail. And so let's press on and continue in the work he has called us to do. Now, we have five testimonies tonight, as well as some special pieces of music. The youth choir is going to be singing, as well as the men's choir. Well, that's what we're calling it anyways. It's the men's ensemble or the men's group or whatever. But we have some testimonies, first of all. And so, Hyacinth and Clifton Powell have been a part of our fellowship here for over 2 years now, 3 years coming up. And they joined with us in membership, and they were both baptized last June in our baptismal service, and they have been a real encouragement to us. And I've asked Hyacinth if she would come and share with us something of her testimony. So Hyacinth, you come first, and then right after Hyacinth does that, the youth choir are going to sing. So you come along.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I'm really humbled when Reverend Saunders asked me to do this testimony this evening. I am from the Presbyterian, the other Presbyterian Church, and the United Church, and so we don't usually publicly do testimonies, and so this is my second testimony ever. My testimony this evening is going to be in three parts. I'm going to talk about my Christianity in Jamaica since I migrated to Canada, and my testimony also will, I'll conclude with my being in this church for the past 3 years. I was born in Jamaica. I'm the youngest of three girls. My mother was an occupational therapist and my dad a farmer. As I say, I'm the last of three girls, and I got the okay from this lady so I could talk about it. But when I was 11 years old, 10 and a half, my mother taught me not to be selfish. Because I was the third girl, I had a lot of clothes, I had a lot of shoes, everything, because I got all the things from the other two. So my mother thought one Christmas that I had too many things, so she decided that she was going to empty out some of my clothes and give it to another little girl who didn't have anything. And the selfish girl that I was at 10, when I went to school and saw her in my clothes, I teased her. I said, I want my dress back. I need it. Take it off. My mother got word of it, and she said to me, okay, we are going on a little trip. I thought, you know, my mother used to travel a lot, so I thought she was taking me to Florida or somewhere, so I was quite excited. She said, okay, no, we're not going away. I want you to put your running shoes on because I'm taking you somewhere. So she took me walking down a little path, a track, to this little girl's home. I've never been there. And she showed me the house, she showed me where she lived, and she said to me, now, if you ever ask for any of those dresses back, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take you, send you to this house. You're going to stay here for a night or two, and I'm going to have her come to your room, and she's going to stay there. I didn't test that because I didn't want to go there. So that was at 10 and a half, I learned not to be selfish. Anyway, I went to high school and I left home and I went into the city to high school. And right out of high school, I went to university. I went to the University of the West Indies where I did nursing. While I was in Kingston going to school, I stayed with my uncle and I went to the Anglican church. I went to church 3 times a day. I went to the 7 a.m. service, the 4 p.m. Sunday school, and the 7 p.m. service. Naturally, when I got to university at 19 years old, I thought, I'm churched out. I'm not going to go to church anymore. But after the first Sunday, I felt very guilty and I started going to church again. I graduated from nursing and I worked in Jamaica for a little while, short period. And my sisters lived here, so I used to come here regularly for holidays. I really liked it, so we migrated here. When I got here, I started going to the United Church, and I have been a United Church member for over 30 years. And this is my life in Canada. I felt that my faith, I was just stagnant. I wasn't going anywhere, and I yearned for something else. I wanted something else. But for years, I was looking, and I didn't know what to do. I prayed, and I asked God to lead me somewhere. I kept passing this church all the time, and my husband said to me, let's go to that church. And I said, no, I'm not going there. Because you see, the United Church had changed its policy over the years, and they changed it to fit in with the times, according to them. And so it had become quite different, and I wanted to leave. So I said to my husband, I'm not going to come to this church because of the word free Presbyterian. I thought, and in Jamaica they would say, and I said to him, I'm going to jump out of the frying pan into the fire, and I really don't want to do that. Anyway, reluctantly, I came one Sunday. And was I surprised? And I'm really sorry that I misjudged the church, and I have to give you an open apology for that, because I really misjudged it. If I am to describe my 3 years here, and especially the last year, because I got baptized in June, I would, if I had one word to describe it, I would describe it as a transformation. I really have been transformed. I have been baptized. I've rededicated my life to the Lord. I feel renewed. I feel revitalized. And God has really washed me in his blood, and he has saved me. And I thank God every day for this. I just wanted to share a few promises of God's redemption from the Bible. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And in Acts chapter 4, verse 10 and 12, "Jesus the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, there is salvation, is no one else." Is she okay? "For there is no other name under heaven that has given among men which will and we must be saved." In Isaiah 43, verse 12, it says, "Do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you." I have learned so much in the short time that I've been here. And the Sunday mornings Bible study, they're phenomenal. And for the ladies that are here, I wish you would join the Friday mornings ladies Bible, you know, study. It is really, really amazing. And our leader is Jill. And I just want to share something. And this is our last Bible study. And I didn't even say this to her, but it has stood with me so much. And it says, "The Roman Road to Salvation." And for the people who attend the Bible study, they know what I'm talking about. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "We are all sinners by nature and by choice." And in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We received eternal life as a free gift. Romans 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God has demonstrated his love for us and his enemies. In Romans 5, verse 8, "But God condemneth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We must trust and surrender to the Lord Jesus. Romans 10, verse 9 to 10, it says, "That if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation." Our assurance of salvation through Jesus, Romans 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord has placed it in my heart to publicly share my story of being redeemed by his grace and love. It is my prayer that sharing my testimony, God's love can be witnessed and received by someone listening this evening. I ask the pastors and the congregation to pray for Cliff and I and our family as we continue on the journey with God. Thank you.
What a blessing to hear what God has done in the life of our sister Hyacinth, and do pray for Clifton tonight. He's not feeling well under the weather, and he would be here as he never misses a service. These are important times, and what a blessing to hear and see how God has done that. What amusing thing that she did not share with you was that this whole idea of be the Free Presbyterian Church, there was in this today, in this day of convoluted morality and the decline of many churches today, she thought, I'm not going to the Free Presbyterian Church because they accept all that new morality and they accept all that stuff. Well, she found out that it wasn't quite like that, and things aren't the same. So we rejoice in that. Well, now what we're going to have is the young people are going to come and sing. And then following on from that, we have a young man who is, well, I'll wait and give that introduction a little bit after, as soon as the young people are finished. So young people, you come now, please, and sing. Very much, young people, for singing and bringing that message in song tonight. Could I ask the congregation, please, to remember and give thanks to God for the young people? This is a hard age for kids to be growing up in. There are a lot of difficulties and challenges and temptations. Thank God for the youth that we have in our church. Praise Him for them. And let's pray that he will give them continual grace and direction as they are seeking for the will of God for their life, to know what they are to do, where they are to go, who they are to marry. So many uncertainties. And so let's bring them continually before the Lord. So young people, thank you for that message and song tonight. This young fellow who has come from Greenville, where he is studying, his name is Ryo Oshiro, and he is from Guam. Now, I don't know this man too well, but he's come up to stay with the Cunningham family as he is not able to return home to his native country of Guam. And so I've asked if he would come and share with us a word of testimony and just how the Lord led him, even to go to Bob Jones University and that whole situation. And while he's going to come and give that word of testimony, remember our brother Luke Cleland, because he's heading off to Guam, and I believe it's tomorrow or Tuesday, as he has some business over there to attend to. He's going to be away for a week, but he'll need traveling mercies from the Lord for that. And the Lord will keep him from getting sick while he's there and just watch over him in the work that he has to do. But Ryo, would you please come along and share your testimony with us all tonight?
Good evening. My name is Ryo and Nicholas Pingi Dadaska Torio Shiro, but if you can't remember that, you can just call me Ryo, like the river, city, or even the cartoon movie about a bird. But thank you for having me. I'm blessed to be here, spending Christmas break in Canada, exploring something new, and being able to spend it with the Cunningham family. I come from a family of five, including myself, mom, dad, older sister, younger brother, who all mean the world to me. Like Pastor said, I'm from Guam, which is located south of Japan, about 3.5 hour flight. It's about 549 square kilometers and with about approximately 165,000 people. So not too big at all. But I wanted to share with you a little short testimony of mine. Growing up, I grew up going to a Christian school all my life and was saved at a young age. However, I knew that I only got saved out of fear of going to hell. So I rededicated my life at 12 years old. I wasn't necessarily a bad kid getting to mischief all the time, which I have my parents to thank for raising me the way they did. But it was easy to put on a good face at school in order to appear good to my teachers. It wasn't until my senior year of high school that I truly became serious about living for the Lord. A couple of my friends and I were mentored by one of the faculty members there who reached out to us and challenged us to serve just as Christ did. Since then, God has been showing me what he wants me to do and where he wants me to be. Entering college, I had my future set. I was going to go attend a Christian university in California and end up living there after I was done with school. But God had other plans for me. I ended up going to a small Christian university in Dunbar, Wisconsin, which was literally located in the middle of nowhere. But God used that tiny school of 300 students in a remote area to help me grow. I would have been too distracted with the comfort and mundane routine of staying home or the busyness of being in California. Now, there's nothing wrong with those two places, but it's just not where God wanted to be at the time. I grew spiritually there as well as built life-lasting relationships with the people there. I was content. I was content with staying there the rest of my years for college, but however, God, again, had a different plan for me. Due to certain circumstances, I transferred to Bob Jones University last year, entering as a sophomore. And it's funny how we tell ourselves that we will never do something or go anywhere, but ironically ending up there. Bob Jones was the last place I wanted to go to school, but it was the best option for me to stay on track for finishing in 4 years. It had a different culture compared to my previous university, and I had to adjust. It was a bigger school, different location, and again, I was a new student. I had a hard time that year trying to accept the fact that this is where God wants me to be. But as I began trusting God's sovereignty and casting all my cares upon him, I could see his guidance and care for me more clearly than ever before. The start of my junior year this past fall, I was given more responsibilities and roles that challenged me to serve and focus on not what I can get from the school, but what I can do to give. I began to build more meaningful relationships with people not only at the university, but out in the community as well. Relationships that helped push me spiritually and encourage me to learn more about my God each day. Plans for my future after I graduate next year have also started to change as I began to let God take control and learn to trust in his sovereignty. And he's been so gracious to me, allowing doors to open up after I graduate. In conclusion, if there's one thing I would encourage you all to take away from this brief time, it's this. God is a sovereign God. We only see a small picture of the bigger plan God has for our life. Many times I don't even see his sovereignty in my life until I stop and look back and recall all the good times and bad, all the lessons I've learned, the situations I've been in, and all the people I've encountered and crossed paths with along the way. I need to constantly remind myself to thank God for his sovereignty in my life and what he has done for me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Thank you very much, Rio, for that word of testimony. A clear word, and you know what an encouragement it is to hear a young fellow talking so directly about the sovereignty of God in life. And it is so true. These things are real. And friend, if you're here tonight, it's not by mistake. God has brought you here to hear the word. He's brought you here to hear the testimonies. And we are thankful that you're here for that. May God open your heart to receive Christ as your Savior, as you've already heard from these two people so far. We're going to take up an offering now for the Lord's work here. And while the offering is received, the Fraser family are going to play. And they're going to play Good Christian Men Rejoice. And so that is a good theme. So if the ushers would please come as the offering for God's work is received here. Thank you, folks, for playing that hymn for us tonight. Turn, please, to hymn number 5. We'll stand and sing 2 verses of this one, the first and the third verses. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices. Hymn number 5, or on the screen, you'll see those words. Let's all stand, please, to sing. seated. Now the next two testimonies we have are from two young women from the congregation, Miss Sonia Lewis and Miss Katie Calica. And so I've asked these two girls to come to share their word. So if you girls come one after another, that would be very good. Sonia, if you come first.
Well, a week ago today, I didn't see myself standing up here at the front. Mr. Saunders asked me if I could share a bit, and I did try to talk my way out of it, but I'm here anyway. So I won't be sharing my entire testimony tonight, but I will be sharing a few ways that God has worked in my life this year. And this will largely stem from a conversation that I had with Mrs. Santos last Sunday. And I think it's a conversation that was worth sharing. Something that I did differently this year was I kept a prayer journal. I was really hesitant to do this for two reasons. The first one is, as a nursing student, and I'm really aware of privacy and confidentiality and concerns like that. That was one thing that bothered me about something like that. And then the other thing was, I didn't really want it to be like a shopping list where I was kind of listing off all the things that I need to pray about every day, and God, just take care of this, 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 that, and we'll see what happens. But I kind of, to sort of sort out these two issues, I just put down one word that would kind of jog my memory of what I was trying to pray for. And it was truly a blessing as I reflect on this year. The first lesson I learned from this was to be persistent in prayer. Back in March, actually, as I think about it, I think, Mr. Lanting, you were speaking here this time last year, and I began to pray for Pete Lanting, and I know many in this church were praying for him day by day, week by week. And this prayer was answered, and answered in a very real way. So from Luke 18, verses 1 and 7, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though we bear along with them?" So remembering that God does hear, and to continue to pray, even when we don't always see changes right away. The second thing I learned was to pray for a real sense of love for others. How different are we from everyone else? If we can just love. I do this every time. I work with nurses, and nurses are very loving people. And how are we any different if we can only love people that love us back? So 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, and Mrs. Fraser was reminding us of this just a few weeks ago in Young People's. "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. And what makes me different from everyone else if I can just love people who love me back?" So I prayed for a genuine love for people that are hard to love. And the third thing that I prayed for, which was a true answer to prayer, was just for a summer job. It's a very simple example, and many students can relate to this. It's so hard to find a job for the summer. It's your 4 months. You can't just sit there and kind of wait it out. And you're competing with very few positions, with so many people in your program and so many other people that want the exact same jobs you do. When I was looking for a job, I had my mind set on one, and I thought it was ideal for me. It was downtown. I could walk to it 20 minutes a day. I didn't really need to leave my house downtown. I could just stay with my friends there. I was qualified for it as far as I could see. I had a placement there. It all looked like it was going to work out perfectly. But God said, the job that God gave to me was a job that was last on my list. And it was far, far away. I would commute to work for 2 hours, then work for 12, and commute for another 2 hours back. But what a blessing it was. I worked with so many different people and such a diverse patient population, which was such a huge learning experience and a blessing. And I worked with wonderful staff, and in every way this job was just a blessing, and I could go to work and just feel a sense of peace that I was meant to be there for that summer. Many of you call the 401 the 401 parking lot. I happen to hear the term from my brother, the 401 death trap, and it truly can be a very scary drive every day, especially after, say, on a night shift, after I'd worked for 12 hours and been awake since maybe 3 p.m. the day before, and giving it all night, and then trying to drive home and thinking about everything that you'd seen. It was scary. And there were times when I would see the rail, and I don't know what turned the car, but it was truly an answer to prayer. And the other thing about driving to work every day, and this is something I talked to Mrs. Sandus about, was the way going when you were truly awake. And I promise I don't drive unresponsibly. But on the way going, especially, it was a really nice time to just pray. And to prepare my heart for whatever was to come during the day. Otherwise, another blessing in this job, and something that I always wonder, is in a profession where I'm not really allowed to go and share the gospel with people and to just say, like, hey, I'm a Christian, this is the gospel story, and this is, you know, you can't just do that. And you can't just impose sort of your religion on others unless A, they ask, and B, it's of benefit to your nurse-client relationship. So I've always wondered, God, like, how can I share? But God showed me that it can be through different means. There was one night I was working, and I had to transfer a patient out of the room so that we could use the room for a different assessment, and she looked at me, and she was in a lot of pain, and she looked at me and she said, hey, I know you're a Christian, can you pray for me? And I have no idea, I had never said anything, and yet that's how it turned out, and I prayed for her that night, and yeah, what a blessing. And then the second example from that was, again, it was a night shift. I was exhausted. I was continuing, you know, you're working, you're busy. And a family member stopped me. And he said to me, how can you be smiling when you see so much misery around you? And then he said to me, you smile as if you have God inside of you. And my response at the time, I wish I had said more and had taken the time to speak a bit more, and I didn't, but I think the reminder was clear enough that God can speak in different ways to people. And just in conclusion, God reminds us to remember and to reflect on these experiences, to learn from them and to grow. So Psalm 77, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God that does wonders. You have declared thy strength among thy people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, thy sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah.
Thank you for your testimony, Sonia. That was really amazing to see how God works through even other people when you're not physically saying the gospel message out loud. When Pastor Saunders asked me to give my testimony, I said I was really nervous, and he said he understands because he feels nervous too sometimes. So pastors feel nervous too when they're preaching, and I guess it's a bit comforting to know that I'm not the only one. I was asked to give a bit of my testimony so that those of you who don't know me will get to know me a bit more and what God has been doing in my life now. I'm Katie, by the way. And for those of you who are new, I'm a student over at Bob Jones University, which is why you probably don't really see me most of the time. Anyway, during my first year of high school, my parents decided to leave the church we regularly attended. They weren't exactly sure which church to move to at first, but decided to check out the Toronto Free Presbyterian Church because on Friday nights, when my brother and I were younger, we attended the Good News Bible Club that took place at the school every Friday. At the time, I wasn't very happy with the choice because I had friends at the old church, and because I was shy, going to a church where I didn't know anybody didn't seem like a good idea. I became bitter and unhappy, and I didn't want to come here. When summer came, youth camp rolled along, and my mom forced me and signed me up to go to this camp against my own will. Mainly because I didn't know anybody at camp, and the thought of being alone wasn't very appealing. The first few days of camp were really bad because I was isolating myself and I didn't want to get to know anybody. But midway through the week, I started making friends. And because people were so kind to me, I started listening to the sermons at camp. And that's when God really started speaking to me. The Thursday night, the preacher spoke about salvation, and it was that night God really opened my eyes to the reality of his word and truth. And it was then that I trusted in him for my salvation. And since then, and moving here, I could really see God working in my life because he opened opportunities for me to go to Whitfield, and from there, the door to Bob Jones opened. So I really want to take this time to talk about what God's been doing in my life recently. A lot of big things happened in this past year, and the beginning of 2015 marked the beginning of the second semester of my sophomore year. It was a semester where a lot of us in the art field had to go through an evaluation that tells us whether or not we could stay in our major. It took a lot of work to get my portfolio together and to look presentable. But when the results came, more than half of us didn't pass. I was stuck in the middle. I didn't pass, but I didn't fail either. The faculty wanted me to do a real evaluation in the next semester. So the decision of whether or not I could stay in my major stayed floating around the air. Summer rolled along, and I stayed in Greenville to work so I could pay off at least my residence fee. I shared an apartment with a friend, which taught me a lot about responsibility, but also had its fair share of difficulties because the friend I stayed with struggled with depression. But staying in Greenville also had its other blessings. Even though a lot of my friends went home for the summer, God blessed me with friends that were still in the area and friends that I can meet up with and that prayed with me, and friends in which I could share what God's been doing in my life. But still, having a lot of time and not having a lot of work to do during the semester, it was still easy to become homesick. Fall came, and it was the first semester of my junior year. There were trials that came into my life, and it became hard helping people while at the same time trying to keep up with my school responsibility. It was like if I tried to be there for people, my grades went down. But if I focused on a lot of my work, trying to be there for people and socializing and trying to be an encouragement became really hard to do. And it was hard balancing the two. I felt like my work wasn't where it was supposed to be. And overall, even though the semester grades were better than they have been in the past, I wasn't very happy with them. Focusing on my work became hard because when I knew there were people that needed to be encouraged, it was hard to. And things kept piling up. When the mid-semester came along, my art reevaluation check came around too. I felt better about my portfolio, but situations at school, like high school festival, delayed the announcement for my result for about 3 weeks instead of the usual 1 week. In the end, I ended up passing my check, and throughout all the difficulty, God still provided me to friends that would point me back to him whenever I struggled with something. And if I struggled with my work, the faculty at Bob Jones were really encouraging and pointing me back to our Creator, who is the reason why we create things in the first place. So even though it was a tough year, it was also an encouraging year, and one that really stretched me as a person and in my faith. And there's a verse that hangs on my wall. It's one that most people know, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will come unto you, and it's one that's been more real in my life, as even in the hard times, when everybody has been pointing me back to God, I see more of Him and how God is really in control of all the situations. And I'd also like to thank everybody in the congregation who has been praying for me, because without those prayers and without all the Christian encouragement, I wouldn't really be sure where I am today. And it's only by God's blessing where I could see that He's been with me throughout all this time.
Thank you very much, Katie, for that word of testimony. And also, Sonia, we appreciate that. And you know what? Here's the two examples of folks that are youth in the church that need our regular prayers and support and encouragement. It's a blessing to hear these testimonies, encourage your heart. And so these are very powerful things. Now I'm going to call the men up now. They're going to minister in song for you. And I'd like you to turn in your hymnal to number 100. Gentlemen, you come up now, please. Do here is that when the men, we're going to sing through the three verses, and then we'd like the congregation to join on the third verse. We're going to repeat that, okay? So the men are going to do all three, and then we'll call the congregation on the third verse to join with us.
Shining in
on the third verse. One of our elders, who is the clerk of our session, is Mr. James Fraser, and he takes the Bible classes, as those of you who will have been with us during the time when he has been doing the catechism and filling in the times when Dr. McClelland is not here to take the Bible class. And I've asked our brother James to share with us a word of personal testimony. Brother.
Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 14. Second Corinthians chapter 2 at verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? It was the fall of 1979, and I was in my second year at university, and God had been working in my heart. I was raised in a Christian home. My parents both knew and loved the Lord. My grandparents on both sides of the family knew and loved the Lord. And there is a godly history associated with our family. I loved going to church. I loved reading the Bible. From the earliest age, I could quote you the Shorter Catechism with proof text, and I loved it. I knew the Bible well, but I didn't know what it was to have a personal faith in Jesus Christ as my own personal Lord and Savior. You see, I knew what the question 86 in the Catechism was, which says, what is faith in Jesus Christ? Faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon him alone for salvation as he's offered to us in the gospel. I knew that answer. But I didn't know what it was to exercise that faith. You see, I had a head knowledge, but it wasn't a heart experience. And Satan had been tempting me to, give up. Give up the things and the way you've been brought up. There were people that had come into my life and they had said, you know, forget the way you've been brought up. Go have fun in the world. Look at you. You're young. You're full of energy. The world is in front of you. Enjoy the pleasures of the world and forget about what you've learned. And that temptation was real. I knew on the one hand that I was a sinner with original and actual transgression. I knew also that there was this command of God to believe on him whom he hath sent. It all came to a climax when I read this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. You see, the gospel and Calvary were either going to be a savor of death unto death to me, or it was going to be a savor of life unto life. And I fell on my knees and cried to God that he would be merciful to me and make the gospel to be a savor of life unto life to my soul. You see, I called my minister, who was Reverend Malcolm McInnes, and I told him about the situation and how it was this climax, this was the dividing time in my life. And he prayed with me, and he pointed me to plead the promise in John 6:37. There's a beautiful verse, we all know it by heart, but we can turn it up. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. This is a promise that Jesus gave. And he said, plead that promise. And I pled that promise. And I read on in the chapter, and I came down to verse 63, where it says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And it was like the heaven opened. It was as if Jesus himself was speaking to me. You see, this is more than a book. This is more than ink on a piece of paper. This is the living word of the living God. And he speaks through his word by his spirit to his people. Has Jesus been speaking to you? You see, these words, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It was like Jesus himself was speaking to me, and the burden was lifted, and there was that rest of faith. It was real. The peace of God is indescribable when you get to that point of committing yourself into the hands of Jesus. They say it's a step of faith. I'm telling you, it's real. It's not an imaginary thing. It's not some textbook thing. It's a real heart experience. Over the last 36 years, God has never failed. His word is still the living word of the living God. And there's been times in my life that I could point to you that where Jesus has spoken to me out of his word, and he's guided me and he's directed me. Now, I'm far from perfect. I'm not going to stand up here and don't look at me. Look to the Savior. Is Jesus speaking to you? To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Where are you tonight? Is Calvary to you that savor of life unto life to your soul? May God bless his word.
Thank you, James, for sharing with us that word of testimony. Some time ago, we had all of our elders give a word of testimony and move through the deacons, and maybe it's time for us to do that again. It was a real blessing, brother, to hear how the Lord's been working in your heart. Well, Mrs. McClelland is going to come now, and I said originally we had six testimonies. Well, she is the sixth person. So I said to her, you have a choice. You can either give your testimony or give your testimony. And she said, I'm going to sing instead. So as a very obedient son-in-law, I was doing what I was told, and I'm going to allow Mrs. McClelland to have her way. You please come now and bring a message and song.
Thank you. would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till one day I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Thank you, Nan, for that message and song. It was very appropriate, moving words. Our brother Starrett's going to come and share with us a brief devotional time now to bring our service to a close.
It's been a blessing to be here and to hear the words of testimony tonight. And as we think of the answers to prayer and the sovereign leading of the Lord in our life and how gracious he is, truly we can say no one ever cared for us like Jesus. That song was a blessing to me. And as we come to a conclusion tonight, I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. It's all of grace. That's why we're here. And I want us to meditate upon this tonight, the grace of God. The only reason we are found in this house, in this place, with a testimony to give, and to recall the answers to prayer and the sovereign leading of the Lord, it is because of his grace. Paul said, only by the grace of God I am what I am. And I want us to think about that tonight just in a few closing remarks. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and or even to the faithful or the believing in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Amen. Let's end our reading there and just take a moment to pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your goodness to us, your kindness, your mercy day by day. We would say, great is thy faithfulness. We're thankful for the time that we have spent in your house tonight, Lord, hearing words of life, the call to salvation, answers to prayer, the providential leading of God in the life of the believing saint. And we pray, Lord, even now as we would conclude our year in the house of God, as we look to your word, may we find encouragement for our souls. We're thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are made full, complete in him. So, Lord, hear us, bless these few thoughts, bless your word to our hearts, and we give thee praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. As you read the book of Ephesians here, you will discover it is all about grace. It's the key theme in the book of Ephesians, the unsearchable grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the blessing of being in Christ. In Christ, we have every spiritual blessing is guaranteed in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's about God's grace to believing sinners. That's why I emphasize that in grace in verse 1. It says he's writing by the will of God even to the believing in Christ Jesus. He's writing to believers and reminding them of God's grace, the riches of grace that flow down to us because of our union with Christ the Savior. I just want to define grace. We think of grace, it's a word we use all the time. What is grace? We know it's unmerited favor, but it's more than that. That's the way we define it. It's the unmerited favor of God to those who are unworthy or undeserving of it. We can understand grace by the little acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense, grace. It's God's loving purpose and power to save unworthy sinners, bringing them to himself by the way of the cross. It's not something we merit. It's not something we earn. It's not something we deserve. It's not something we can purchase. It's by grace we are saved. It is something that is freely given according to the good pleasure of a loving God, and it's not because of anything in us, anything that we have done, any value or worth in ourselves. It's all because of the grace of God. A.W. Tozer defines grace this way: grace is the good pleasure of God that inclines him to bestow benefits on the undeserving. John MacArthur said, the free and benevolent influence of a holy God operating sovereignly in the lives of undeserving sinners. That's grace. The free and benevolent influence of a holy God operating sovereignly by the power of his Spirit in the inward man, in the lives of those who are undeserving sinners. That's why we sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound it saved a wretch like me. It's all of God. It's sovereign saving grace. Unmerited favor to those who are undeserving of it. That's grace defined. But as you read the book of Ephesians, grace is also described. Notice the way as you read how Paul describes grace. He says, if we were to look at verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. In verse 7, he talks about the riches of his grace. And there are other ways he describes it. It's glorious grace. It's a manifestation of the glorious nature of God shining through as he shows mercy, kindness, love to those who are undeserving of it. It's glorious in that way. The nature of God's love shines through. That God, according to his good pleasure, was ever disposed to bless us and bring us to himself. That's glorious grace. He talks about rich grace, the riches of his grace. In fact, he talks about the exceeding riches of his grace, something that is valuable, something that is precious, something that is costly. And we know it cost the Savior everything to bear away our sins. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It's glorious grace. It's rich grace. It's exceeding rich grace. It's abounding grace. In fact, it's inexhaustible. It's excessive. The translation here is lavish. It's lavishly poured out upon us, the riches of his grace. It's not cheap, but it abounds. It's abundant grace lavishly poured out. We know it's saving grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift. Grace is the gift of God. We think of Paul mentions the dispensation of grace, the pouring out of grace. God ministers grace to us in our need. The gift of grace, it's something that is given. And he concludes the book in that way. Grace be to all that love the Lord Jesus in sincerity. Glorious, rich, abundant, saving grace. He describes it. And we can sit here tonight, and I can stand here tonight, and we can say, it's only because of God's grace I am what I am. Sovereign, saving grace is the reason for our acceptance with God. To the praise of his glorious grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So by the gift of grace, we, the helpless and hopeless, were saved, were redeemed. And as you read through this book, it's amazing to see that we are redeemed by grace. Grace saves, grace forgives, grace transforms, grace changes, grace adopts, grace keeps. God has been so good to us, and we're not worthy of the least of his blessings, and yet he lavishly pours out his grace upon us, that saving sovereign grace. But it doesn't end there. It's not just a one-time event where we're saved by the grace of God. God's grace is excessive, abundant, lavish. It continues to be poured out. We know that grace, the grace of God, is the source of all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. It's abundant and it's overflowing. And as we go on with the Lord from year to year, we need to understand that grace never leaves us where it finds us. It's not only sovereign saving grace, but it is sanctifying grace. It has a sanctifying influence upon the life. We know that Christ, by his death, was successful in dealing with our sin. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and he brings us into union with God. And now his Spirit dwells in us and leads us on in truth and in grace and in knowledge. And Peter talks about growing in grace and in knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so it's not only saving grace, but it's sanctifying in that it leads us on with God. And as we are recipients of this gift of grace, we have a responsibility then to promote the grace of God, to demonstrate the grace of God, to walk worthy of the grace of God. And these are all themes that he mentions here in the book of Ephesians. It's not a license to sin or a free, get out of jail free card, but because God has been so gracious to us, we are called to a life of worship and a walk that is worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he says there in chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're created in Christ for good works, works of grace. We are called to a life of grace. We're called to walk in that way. We're told in Titus 2, 11 and 12, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation, and it teaches us, it trains us, it disciples us in the way of God. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly lusts and to live under the control of the Spirit of God who now dwells in us, to be upright and to live those godly lives in this present evil age. How can we stand? How can we overcome? It's only by the grace and the power of God. Saving grace, sanctifying grace. But I want you to notice in conclusion that it is all sufficient grace that supports us through life's trials and afflictions. God has this title. He is the God of all grace. You know that. He's the God of all grace who has promised to establish you, to strengthen you, to settle you. He's the God of all grace. He's the God of all comfort. And grace never leaves us where it finds us. It leads us on in truth and knowledge in our walk, in progressing with God, growing day by day. And as we face new challenges, as we face new trials, we discover that his grace is all-sufficient grace. He supports us in every hour of need. And that grace that never fails is the fuel that fuels heartfelt praise. To the praise of the glory of his grace. It's his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of the glory of his grace, who first trusted in Christ. There's that gratitude, there's that thankfulness as we think of the grace of God upholding us. And as we think of that song that we just heard, no one ever cared for us like Jesus. He takes us from our sin, and he takes us from the place of darkness. He shines the light of the glorious gospel into our soul. He shines the light of his word into our hearts. And he chases away the darkness. And we discover that his grace is sufficient. And so we praise him. We know the prayer of the Apostle Paul as he prayed concerning that thorn in the flesh, that the Lord would deliver him, take it away, But the Lord didn't do that. He said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness." My grace is sufficient. And so Paul would say, I will not boast, therefore, in myself. I will gladly boast in my infirmities, the things of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me for the sake of Christ. He was willing to suffer hardship, persecution, infirmity, weakness, knowing that God in his grace would support him and hold him up, because he said, "When I am weak, then I am strong in the Lord." And we have discovered that. I know I have discovered that through this past year, that we have to come back again and again and again to Christ for the grace that we need to persevere, that he would take us from the place of darkness back to the light and show us the way forward, that we would walk in his will. And so we worship him. It says here, we are to worship God because of his grace, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Praise for glorious, rich, abundant, saving, sanctifying, sufficient grace. We worship God. This is the reason we live, he says, that we should be to the praise of his glorious grace. The reason why we exist, the reason why we live, we move, we have our being. It's the reason for our existence, he says, that we should be to the praise of his glory. What's our purpose for living? It is to praise, to worship, to honor Christ with our lives. I close with the words of J.C. Ryle, words that moved me. He said, "When we think we are something, we're really nothing. Do we have a claim upon God?" Listen to what he said. "Claim upon God, we have none. A right to expect anything from God, we have none. Worthiness to deserve anything from God, we have none. All that we have received. And all that we are, we owe to God's distinguishing grace. He set us apart for his glory and for his honor." And so we say with Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain." No, on the contrary. "He worked hard, though it was not I," he said, "but the grace of God that was in me." It's only by grace we can persevere. Sovereign, saving, sanctifying, sufficient grace that will uphold us even into this new year. Amen.
Thank you, my brother Sterrett, for that good, challenging word tonight, and it's a good way to end this testimony and praise time. We're going to conclude with Psalm 100. Please turn there in your book or on the screen in front of you, standing as we sing Psalm 100 with all our hearts in thanksgiving to God.
Thank you.
Father. Oh God, we come tonight and our hearts are overflowing with thanksgiving. We cannot, O Lord, properly praise thy great and holy name. Help us, we pray, with these very limited voices, limited hearts, limited minds. Lord, present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto thee. Father, we are thankful for every testimony given tonight, and the many represented here in this place that can also say, I know that this is true, for Christ has saved my soul. Help us to be a witness that shines continually. Keep us, we pray, from temptation and sin. Help us to magnify the grace of God in our lives day by day. And so, dear Father, bless now our time of fellowship downstairs. Receive our thanksgiving for the food that is provided. Help us tonight to eat and drink to thy glory. And let our fellowship be a special thing as we continue in thy holy presence. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.